What is good, guys, and welcome back to yet another episode, episode number 8, actually, of the Sneaker Reselling 101 podcast. It is your boy, Dylan Senga. I'm here with the other host, of course, my man, Dom. Go ahead and say what's up, my brother.
What's good, guys? This is, like you said, episode 8, so we're getting serious now as far as I'm concerned.
Man, so we talked about this previously, right? What do you think is the worst Jordan 1 of the year? Like, I already got a few in mind. There's, if you guys are watching right now, there's a lot of really, really bad Jordan 1s that dropped this year. And I got two in mind right now from this year. Well, actually two to three Jordan 1s that I could actually, like, I'll say two, but two or three. What do you think?
Sure. So let's start here. I didn't do quite as much homework on this as you, but I'm going to flip the camera and show the people. So this is a shoe that I had it recently. So this one just comes to mind. It's really weird. It has like, I'm going to flip it in a sec. I'll just kind of describe it. It has like a purple upper and then almost like a spider web pattern on the side. And then it has like certain stitching elements kind of look like the off-white ones. And then the tongue's super weird and the shape's super weird. And then the bottoms have like a green sole. Like, I just recently had them. I got them for a steal. I made my money, but like,
this was a 2021 release.
I'm not 100%, but I hadn't seen them. They're fairly new.
What are those?
Zoom.
I've never seen those before.
Yeah, they're whack. I'd never seen them either, and I pulled up at the shop, and obviously the homie gave me a steal on them, but I was like, damn, like these are fucking hideous. So
that's crazy.
Yeah, for anyone watching who didn't catch it, they're called the Jordan 1 Zoom High Comfort, like CMFT or something, by you boys.
Man, that I've never even seen those.
Yeah, they're hideous.
But look, all right, so this got to be the two right here, all right? This got to be the first one right here. The electric orange Jordan 1s. I mean, I don't know. This may or may not be an unpopular opinion. Matter of fact, I'm gonna turn on the comments again because I actually want to see like what people actually think about this. Comment down below, guys. What do you think about these? I personally don't think that these are a really hot pick, the electric orange Jordan 1s. But man, I don't know, bro. They're just dropping so many different colorways. I know that they were actually going to drop another version of this shoe, but I mean, I heard the quality was pretty good. I heard they look good in hand, but at the same time too, right, we were expecting a lot more from this specific colorway. If you guys know, you already know, right? They were supposed to drop like another quote unquote shattered backboard. So you guys know we have a shattered backboard 1.0, shattered backboard 2.0, 3.0, and of course they were going to call it like a 4.0 or something that looked like a shattered backboard, right? But they gave us this, right? And it's got to be one of the worst colorways in my opinion of this year, right? Go ahead.
I was gonna say You go, bro. That's the problem with being live online, bro. It's hard to time it up. You go. Continue your thought.
No, bro. It's just – okay, so what I was going to say was I personally believe that these are the worst – these got to be the worst ones of this year. But here's the thing. Like, they're not the worst ones overall because we've seen a lot of really, really bad colorways this year. Someone in the comments said that these are going up. Quote me on that all day. I don't know. I really don't know, bro. I mean, like, okay, but I'm pretty sure like 90% of the people in here, including yourself, Dom, I think you're going to agree with me on this one. This has got to be the worst Jordan 1s to release. And it's the Patina Jordan 1 Highs.
I
don't know, bro. It's kind of like a wannabe shadow, like the wannabe. I don't know what they were trying to do with this one, honestly. I just can't. I don't know. I really don't like these. And I've seen it on foot. You could see all the photos on feet, and it's just, I
It
don't know.
actually looks worse on foot than it does in hand.
Yeah,
Not gonna lie, that's
I don't know.
crazy.
The materials look good though. I'm not gonna lie. The materials look pretty good for these, but I don't know on this one, bro.
Yeah, I don't like that one at all. You know what's funny though is the in the comments, because I'm obviously watching the comments since we put them on for this segment. There's a lot of love for the electric oranges, and what I would say on the electric oranges is like, they're not that bad, but it looks like they put a mid colorway on a high. That's what I think.
I mean, look, this was the mid that they dropped recently, and they're still sitting in stores. But I, bro, if this was a high compared to this colorway, I would be copping this over that.
I gotta look at those. I gotta look at those more closely.
Look, I'll click on it for you, bro.
Yeah, do it. Do it.
Hopefully there's no viruses, but I'll show you real quick. Look, here's a closer look at them, Dom.
Not, yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad.
I mean, they actually look pretty good. I'm not gonna lie. So, I
It's
don't know,
hard to
man.
tell over the pictures, but I don't really like the way the material looks on the orange part. But I don't
Right.
have, I've never had them in hand, so.
I mean, it's just, yeah, I don't know. They just, they're, I would take that colorway over this colorway any day.
And give the full name of the colorway so that people listening on like Spotify, Apple Podcasts can go and find the shoe you're talking about.
So the mids that we're talking about is the Electro Orange Jordan 1 mids, but the ones that we were talking about that were an ugly release are the Electric Orange Jordan 1s, and then the ones that I absolutely do not like at all are the Patina Jordan 1s. Again, I just feel
Electric
like
orange.
Jordan Brand has been releasing so many different colorways. I know someone in the comments just said the metallic purple. I think the correct name for that was the court purple Jordan ones, the woman's size ones. I mean, for those, I feel like it looks like an OG colorway. They're trying to do like an OG colorway for
I
them. You
like
know what I'm
those.
talking about? Yeah. You like those? You like those, Don?
I do, yeah.
These ones right here. You like those?
Yeah.
Okay, I like that. I like that. What do you think about those fusions, the red fusions? Someone
I
just
gotta
mentioned that
pull
in the
those up
comments,
quickly.
Notorious Kicks and Volts. Someone said Volts. So many people were saying so many good things about the Volts, like invest in them, right? I feel like I don't know which one dropped first. I got to I the Volts dropped first, right?
Before what? The Volts or
Before the
what?
patinas.
Yeah, the Volts dropped well before, I think.
Okay, so I feel like after the Volts, everything kind of just went downhill. Besides a few other colorways, obviously. So I don't know, bro. A lot of people were saying, hold the Volts, hold this, hold that. It's like, I don't know. There's only a few colorways that I personally believe that you should be holding of the Jordan 1 highs, especially. I mean, Jordan 1s is always like a hot sneaker, but at the same time too, they're releasing a lot of crazy colorways that I believe that you should not even hold, right? Like, there's a
Yeah.
lot of great colorways. Like, for example, I believe the Shadow 2.0s, a lot of people have been saying the Shadow 2.0s are going to go up. I agree with that one. I'm surprised that the UNC Jordan 1s are dropping in price, and the Hyper Rolls are dropping in price. But I personally believe that those shoes are a good time to, like, it's a good time to invest in those shoes right now, right?
Yeah.
Because if we look at the, what is it, the Turbo Greens, right? The Turbo Greens, compared to the Hyper Rolls, those are going to go up, right? I would mostly invest in like GS sizes though, right? So yeah, man, what are your takes on that?
See, I think that a lot of ones right now are kind of scary to hold because the supply on these shoes is so high. And not only that, I
Insane.
feel like they just keep sneaking in little restocks here and there. So like the supply, the price will go up a little bit and then they'll release more shoes. So yeah. It's like, I'm not an expert here. I know there's people who follow the releases and stuff more than me, but like, you gotta really like a colorway right now, I think, to be confident in holding it, just between the high amounts of supply that drop on release day. Because it's not just how many colorways there are, it's like, there's so fucking many of each of these colorways being released, like the actual shoes within them. So, but the one shoe that I am holding right now, I have a handful of Shadow 2Os.
Yeah, Shadow 2Os.
Yeah.
I know that you had a good amount of Royal Toes, right? Let's talk about the Royal Toes.
Yeah.
I feel like I personally thought the Royal Toes were going to do way better. Mm-hmm. Way better, bro. And, I mean, what are pairs going for, like, $350 right now? Some of them less.
I think less in most sizes.
Right. I don't know, bro. So, I personally believe you should just quick flip a lot of these shoes. If you have large quantities of the shoes, shout out DFW Kicks. He's in the chat right now. He has a lot of the same pairs, you know, same with me. I know you have a lot of the same pairs too. If you have a large quantity of a specific pair of shoe, then it'll be right to hold it. Right. But if you have one or two pairs, it doesn't make sense for you to hold it for a few months just to make an extra $20 to $40 extra. You know what I mean? Like you can make way more with a quick flip than you can make with a hold, essentially, right? And you know, this doesn't go with everything. This doesn't go with every single shoe, because there's shoes that you can hold and in the next few months you can make, you know, a few $100 or even maybe $1,000, right? But at the same time too, a lot of people are holding Jordan 1s. You know, I know a lot of people that are holding Smoke Grays. I know a lot of people that are holding Court Purples, Royal Toes, right? But at the same time too, like, I feel like, again, you could make so much more money within the quick flip over time than you can with the hold. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I agree. There's a comment here that says holding only makes sense if you can afford to hold. Shoot, one sec. Okay. Yep. This comment says holding only makes sense.
Go ahead.
If you can afford to hold. Right. So meaning you can hold pairs and you still have the capital to quick flip, and then you're holding 10 plus, which makes sense because if they go up, you're actually going to make a good bag. I also think it's just so unpredictable. At least maybe that's just my perspective, because I haven't been that good at predicting what's going to go up or not. But like the trends are always moving. You never know exactly how much supply Nike or Adidas or whoever you're holding is going to drop. You know, it's just like there's so many variables. So if you haven't seen a lot of the market movements over the years, you probably don't want to do too much holding.
1,000%. And DFW also, again, put in another great comment. He said, all the money going to the fours and dunks. And, like, I couldn't agree enough, right? There's a lot of people in my DMs personally asking for dunks, Jordan fours. I personally believe, like, really, really good holds with the fours right now are the UNC 4s and the white Oreo 4s that just dropped, right? You know, and I don't know, a lot of people were sleeping on the Fire Red 4s when they released, what, a year ago? And now they're going for a really, really good amount, right? So I don't know, bro. 4s are definitely a move. Another great example is the Black Cat Jordan 4s, bro. Black Cat Jordan 4s. Are out the roof right now. Like, I don't know. It's what's the market on those? Like over $700, over $650 to $700.
I think probably around $650 in most sizes.
That's insane. That's insane. For a Jordan four, bro. For a simple Black Cat Jordan four. Like, I don't know, bro. It's really, really crazy that people are actually willing to spend that much for those. I don't know.
Here's the interesting thought I have whenever I see a shoe like that was literally sitting on shelves at retail and then over the course of a year goes crazy like that. Was that predictable? Like, was there a set of people who just knew that was going to go up, or is that just like, what the fuck happened?
I remember looking at those shoes and I'm like, nah, bro. Like, I'm just leaving. Like, I was like, oh, look, a Jordan 4, like a retro is in Shoe Palace. And like, now I think about it, I'm like, damn. Like, I really should have bought every single pair that I could put my hands on. Like, it's crazy because I remember vividly walking into a Shoe Palace and they had GS and men's sizes still sitting, right? Like a few months after they released too. And it, you know, you kind of think back, it's like, dang, how many pairs could I, you know, I'm pretty sure since these shoes were sitting, I'm pretty sure if you would have knew like a manager or someone or something like you could have got like, you could have probably got all the pairs that they had right at the time because they were probably just sitting. Right. You know, you won't see a lot of UNC fours in a GS or men's size sitting right now. You won't see a lot of white Oreo fours sitting right now, GS or men's sizes. And I don't know, man. It's just, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, was it selling out pre-pandemic? Yes. I do remember that. Remember Jordan wasn't selling out pre-pandemic? Yes, bro. I remember that. And then when everything started opening back up again, right, I know myself and like a few of my other friends, I don't know if you did, Dom, but I know me, George went out to like different shoe palaces and different outlets to see if they had any shoes stocked up because, again, all these shoe palaces were shut down, right? So right. What we did was when everything started opening back up again, We started to go to these stores, and then it was actually crazy. I have a full YouTube video on this right now on DSangley, DSangley on my YouTube, right? Where I went to the shoe palace and I got like 15 pairs of Pine Green Jordan 1, Pine Green Jordan 1 2.0 highs, right? Mm-hmm. And what else did I get? I got What the Force, and I got, there was another shoe, the Nick 3s. And those are going for a lot of money right now, bro.
Yeah, the Nick 3s are low-key pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
And the others, obviously. I think the Pine Greens are actually the cheapest of those three. The right. Jordan 1 high. Yeah.
Right, but then, like, they progressively started getting higher and higher.
Right. They're low these days in the smaller sizes, though. I think sizes like 8 through 10 are kind of surprisingly low.
Really? Like how much? Like 250 on that?
Yeah, yeah, like 250 to 280 ish.
But I mean, for you get them all for retail.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
still pretty quick. That's it. That's good money right there. You know what I mean? 100%. Someone in the chat just said, "I worked at a shoe palace. My store had 30 plus pairs sitting for over 6 weeks," and I'm pretty sure he was talking about the Black Cats, right? That is insane. Over 30 plus pairs sitting for 6 weeks. Over $600. Like
they tripled in price. Like think about that. That's crazy.
Oh my gosh, bro. That's crazy. And Heat Closet ATL just said, "Have y'all experienced slower sales this past month?" Yeah, Dom and I have talked about this. Dom, you wanna talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean it hasn't been like horrible or anything, but it's definitely been a little slow for me. I've really picked up my selling on GOAT and eBay, which has saved me a little bit. Otherwise, this would have been a really tough month. But, like, I'm going to do okay this month. It will be my worst month since February. So, yeah, it's been
since February.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I feel that. I mean, like, Dom and I have talked about this, right? Right. I have been personally working a lot on my content. So, you know, I was expecting it to be like this. But I'm still going to have a pretty good month. Overall, right? You know, I'm not complaining because I know that the content and everything that I'm dropping on all these social media platforms are going to pay better dividends than anything else that I could ever do. You know what I mean?
Yep. Because the content kind of builds brand for the long term, you know, more than just short term sales for sure.
1000%. 1000%, man. So let me see. Let's get into the toughest sneakers to resell. I know that this was a topic that you and I were pretty excited to talk about. And reason why we want to talk about this is because a lot of you starting resellers, I don't know if there's any new resellers in here. From the comments, we've been seeing a lot of experienced resellers, experienced resellers.
Yeah.
But at the same time, too, we want to be able to, like, tell you guys personally, like, sneakers that we've invested in and like have been a really, really hard time flipping, right? So what sneakers are that for you, Dom?
Well, first of all, I think this will be interesting because we are engaging with the comment section today. So everyone can kind of give us feedback on whether they agree or disagree or how they feel about them. So I'll start with an obvious one and then go to kind of a section of sneakers that's a little bit more interesting, I guess. Right. So okay. Like some of the ones that are obviously just tough to sell and for me just sit is like 7s, 8s, 9s. Bro, even if I get 13s too, like some of the older 13 colorways, for the most part, 7s, 8s, and 9s are in their own league. Like, I can't move Jordan 8s for my life. Some 13 colorways move, some don't. Jordan 9s do not move. Jordan 7s do not move. So, like, those are the obvious ones. And I DFW just said anything will sell. It all depends on your cost. Yeah, if you throw something for a huge steal, it's going to move. But when I tell you, like, I'll consistently price Jordan 7 through 9, like, 30 or 40 under market and watch it not sell. It's just, like, it kind of depends on what your audience is, right? Like, if the people who follow you, and depending on what selling channels you have. Like, it just kind of, it all depends. So, that's just one that I struggle with, at least.
What about, what about on Go or eBay? Do you think those will still move well for you if you were to put them on there?
Goat's probably your best bet with sneakers like that. eBay's, I tend to know what moves well on eBay. I feel like newer stuff will move pretty well on eBay and just things that are generally hype. But, like, it's not that helpful. Like, there's a lot of crossover between what sells on eBay and what will sell on my Instagram page. But Goat's good for that kind of stuff. Like, if I get, like, an 8 or, like, a 14 or one of those kind of bricky color or bricky models, I'll definitely try to move them on Goat.
I feel you. So, what are other shoes that hasn't really moved well for you, Dom?
An interesting category that we've been kind of buying a lot of lately is the smaller size Yeezys. So, I'm talking about, like, sizes 5 through 7. Yeah. They don't move. They do not move on my Instagram page. Like, just really? Period, end of story. Can't move them on. Wow. But I buy them a lot because they sell. Some of them sell really well on Goat. Like, creams in grade school sizes will fly on Goat for me for really high prices. Yeah. Like, I just sold a no box pair for $375. But some of the other colorways, like less hype small sizes, like, I think we recently had like a Desert Sage and maybe some of the 700s and 500s in those smaller sizes are just. They'll move on Goat, but you got to really wait those out. So I will buy those for steals, but they're tough moves. So I'd say most smaller Yeezys, except for the really popular colorways, are really hard to sell.
Right. 1000%. I feel you, bro. I feel you. I mean, for me personally, I got to start off with the designer sneakers, bro. Right. The designer sneaker. I don't know if you've ever gotten to the designer game, like the Balenciagas, the Gucci's, the Louis, right? Like, I don't know. When I was starting off, right, I had bought a pair of Balenciagas, and I kid you not, I had them sitting for months, like the really, really big dad shoe looking ones. And it was just crazy. I mean, I still made my money, but at the same time too, like, you know, I bought those. It took me a while to sell those, right? You know, one of my close friends, you know, I cashed him out here and there, and he sold me a bunch of his shoes, right? Jordans, Yeezys, right? But a majority of the shoes that he sold me were designer shoes. And, you know, it was, you know, again, the Gucci, the Louis, Burberry. Like, it was insane. Like, I got at least like 10 pairs from that pack. Right. And, you know, it's funny because my girlfriend was like, don't buy those. Like, don't buy the designer shoes. Like, you know that you can't sell them for top of the dollar. Like, retail on these shoes are insane. Like, a retail Gucci Ace is like $650, something like that, $690, something like that. And it's ridiculous because over time, these shoes are going to be worth like close to nothing. You know what I mean? Close to, like, if you were to buy Gucci Aces at like $700 brand new, they're not going to go up over time, and you're not going to be making like $800 to $900 off these shoes, right? You're going to be making, right, like $200, $250 off these Gucci Aces that you paid so much money for. Mm-hmm. And if you guys are starting off right now and you guys are listening to this podcast – Right. If you're a starting reseller, this is one of the first things you gotta understand. It's like, what are shoes that move well? Right. And again, yeah, DFW said he said you learn through mistakes. Exactly. You gotta learn through your mistakes. Right. This is mistakes that we personally made, investment wise. And I guess another shoe that I have to talk about too is the Yeezy Quantums. Right. Oh my gosh, bro. I bought like 5 pairs brand new. And it's crazy, right? It's crazy because like I paid, well, I think retail was like what, 250? Same thing as the 350s. And now they're going under $200. So again, you really gotta learn from your mistakes. So those are some shoes that I personally that don't really move well for me, and I kind of just stay away from. So if someone ever tries to sell me some designer shoes, I'm just like, nope. I'm good. Go ahead.
I was gonna say I have a couple of things to say on that. I have no problem buying a shoe that's gonna be tougher to move as long as I'm gonna make extra margin to make up for it. You know what I mean? So that's one thing. Hopefully they'll move eventually. I was gonna ask you though, how long will you try to sell a shoe for before you kind of change your mindset on it and go, okay, like I need to get rid of this thing because it's just not moving for me?
I mean, I personally think like 2 to 3 months is like a good call. No. You know, and then I feel like something I got to do better on is like kind of check marking and kind of like taking note, like, oh, this shoe took an X amount of time just for me to like move it. And I think that would be a great tip for anyone listening right now. You know, have like a list of shoes that don't really move fast for you. Have a list of shoes that do move well for you. For example, for me, I know that Jordan 1s, Yeezys are really, really good flips for me. You know, because people are always constantly asking for Jordan 1s, Jordan 4s, Dunks, Yeezys, right? And I always take note of that in my brain. I'm like, okay, whenever I go to a sneaker event, I got to buy this. I got to buy that, right? And I take note of, like, the sizes that people always ask me for, right? So size 9.5, size 8, size 10, whatever, right? I'll look for those sizes on a consistent basis so that later on down the road, right, I can supply the customers or the clientele that I built over time.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think – and just keeping detailed records too, like – within your accounting system is something I've been leaning on a little bit more lately. Is like, if you have detailed notes, like I recently added a section where I say what date I listed a shoe. And then of course I have when I sold it. So then I can actually run data and see like, how long does it take me on average to sell shoe X? You know what I mean? So that's something like you could throw in your bag as well. I'm still working on that. It's something I've done recently. So it's still going to take time to get the data, but you know, things like that can help. Or you could be like DFW and just have it all in your head.
Yeah, I mean, like, you could do that too. But, I mean, just for any, like, starting resellers too. You know what I mean? Like, there's going to be a lot of these starting resellers that really don't know the names of these shoes or, you know, the model, right? You got to take baby steps, right? So, again, right, a lot of people starting off, at least, are going to be wasting a lot of money. Right. So if you're listening to this podcast right now, you don't need to waste any money, man. Just make sure you guys go drop a follow on the Reselling 101 pod, man, on Instagram. Make sure you guys go listen to us on all social media platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You guys already know, man. So, yeah, man, what other shoes do you think personally like that have been really bad for you to flip?
I think just grade school in general is interesting for me because there was a time where – well, there was a time where I flew that shit. Do you remember? Where I would sell sizes 5 through 7 better than anything else. It's cooled off a lot. Now it's really hit or miss. Like, usually grade school 3s and 4s will move. 11s do sometimes. But then, like I said, Yeezys and 1s. Like, grade school 1s are tough for me now. That's been an interesting development. Generally, anything between, like, we'll talk about best shoes to move. Like you said, it's pretty easy, but sizes like 9 through 11 are the money sizes. Anything outside of that can get a little harder. Although 8 sometimes goes for a lot on GOAT, depending on what shoe it is. And then, you know, really anything outside of, okay, you know what though? I move surprisingly not well is just in general Jordan 1s. I know. Really? For some people, yeah, for some people, that's wow. their bread and butter. For me, yeah, ones are surprisingly tough sometimes.
Yeah, Jordan 1s and GS sizes in general have, like, because I don't know, the thing with girls is, like, it's, I don't know if there's any girls out here, but girls will literally just spend anything on a shoe. And, you know, I mean, I respect it, but at the same time, too, again, those shoes, I know for myself and a lot of other resellers, have been selling really, really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Someone just said Stimmy stopped coming in and the sales really reflected. I mean, yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, again, people have their jobs back, you know, so you can't really like say Stimmies are really reflecting that as much.
What I can say though is, you remember when the stimulus checks first started in like summer of 2020? Dude, I could not hold inventory. It didn't matter what I had or what I know. Had, it was gone. So, like, we're not there.
I know. Anymore. I remember that. Crazy. And, like, that was the time when we were, like, really, like, you know, popping off on TikTok.
Yeah.
Crazy, bro. It's crazy. I do remember those times, though. You would just literally list anything for any price, and it would just move. I remember those times. And, you know, people would just come to you just to buy a shoe just to support you. And I mean, I still get that here and there, but at the same time too, like, that's why you got to build long-term relationships with your customers rather than just short-term relationships with your customers. Right. I don't know if you want to talk about that, but at the same time too, I feel like that's super, super important. Long-term customer relationships versus a short-term.
Yeah, I like that. I want to start by, there was something down here. Oh, yeah. DFW said the market it was inflated, and then Heat Closet said, like, there's too many sellers. I feel that. Like, I feel like Instagram has slowed down for a lot of people because there are so many Instagram resellers now. So I just wanted to talk on that because that's something I've observed as well. As, like, not to say that you can't succeed on Instagram selling anymore, but there's just so much more competition and there's so many good sellers out there, which leads into saying, that's why it's so important to build those relationships with your customers, like you were saying, because the thing is there's tons of good Instagram sellers out there, but it's hard to find the good ones because you never know what Instagram seller is going to do good business and what Instagram seller isn't until you've tried it, which is why I think it's so important that for every single person that buys from you, you need to give them the best possible experience and get them to come back, because it's way easier, like, you get way more value from one customer just keep on coming back than trying to get a new customer. You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, that's a huge thing for me.
I mean, I've seen it. I've seen it too, right? A lot of these people, the reason why there's so many resellers, and I feel like the reason why the reselling game has exploded recently is because, right, because of the pandemic, because of everything that's going on, people have to, you know, create another way of making a stream of income, right? They have to find another hustle in order for them to feed their families. And I understand that, right? So if that is you, if you guys are listening to this, you're a brand new reseller once again, right? You got to listen to all this stuff because you don't want to, I mean, if you have a lot of capital at first, I guess you'll have some leeway at first, but at the same time too, if you don't have that much capital to mess with, then you want to be able to listen and like focus on the different things that you should be investing in starting off.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. If you're low on capital, you want to find things that are going to move quick for sure.
Yeah. 1000%, man. 1000%. You really need to be, someone just said, you really need to be unique and have a brand. Yes. Yes. And that's another reason as to why we're going so hard on the content game, right? We're so focused on building the brand. Like, we're not even right now, we're not even really focused on the sales. Dom and I have been talking about this a lot recently. We're not focused on how much money we're bringing in. All this stuff, we're really focused on how much value we can give to you guys, right? And hence why we made this podcast, right? We want to be able to inspire and help you guys as much as possible. So if there's anything that you guys personally need or any questions, I know that there's a few questions in our requested DMs right now on this Instagram page that we have to get to. But at the same time too, you know, I've gone to like a few DMs from our past podcast. So if you guys have any questions about this episode or any of our other previous episodes, please make sure you guys go ahead and DM us on this page at Reselling101Pod. Okay. And then also leave us a review. We also have a refs page on here too. So we have a little highlight. Go ahead and leave us a review there. And then as well as Apple Podcasts, because that's like the only way you guys can leave us a review outside of Instagram, which is our Apple Podcast. So yeah, man, let's what else do you think? What else do you think? You think we should get to these comments? You think we should do some Q&A real quick?
Yeah. Why don't we wrap up on some Q&A? Cause I'm reading all the comments. There's one other thing that I read that I really like. Just part of the comment says over communication is one of the keys to being successful on Instagram. And like, I feel that shit, bro. Like I love that, yeah. Something sells, I tell the person what day and what time I'll be shipping, how long it's going to take to arrive, like what the tracking is, all that stuff. I'm really, really detailed about the process. And I think that just helps to calm people's nerves, especially if they're buying time off you. Cause sometimes people will be a little bit nervous as well. So just over communicate. I love that.
Yeah, I feel that. And just something to add on to that, right? You know, someone at 2 a.m. DM me saying like, oh, their package has like error information or something like that. And I was on it real quick, right? I was like, you know, don't worry about it. We're going to get it situated for you. And if anything, I'll go ahead and call UPS for you and we'll get everything figured out, right? 100% of our packages always land. So you have nothing to worry about, right? And again, right, about what Dom said, the first time buyers are the ones that you really, really, really got to over communicate with. Because again, they're trusting you with all their, with everything. Right. With all the money that with the money that they have to buy the shoes, they're trusting you with that. Right. Because a lot of us resellers, we don't accept goods and services. Right. A bunch of these resellers, like 90% of these resellers only accept friends and family, Cash App, Zelle, Apple Pay, whatever it is. Right. So with that being said, if someone sends you $1,000 via Zelle, that's all you like, you know what I mean? Yep. Like you. They're giving you all their trust, right? For you to actually ship out their package, get it to them in a timely manner, right? In the condition that they actually that you promoted it as, and you know, if there's something wrong with that person's package, you have to do your best as a CEO or of an owner of a company. You have to be able to, you know, take care of it in a professional manner, right? Yep. You know, I know a lot of people that have sold fakes unintentionally, right? And, you know, I get it, right? All sales are final. Everyone has the rule, all sales are final. But if a shoe is fake or if a shoe is damaged, then, you know, you have to do your best and be professional. Because if not, word of mouth goes a long way. Right, that person that you did business with probably knows a bunch of people that you've already previously done business with, right? And so that's why it's so important to take care of each and every one of your customers like their family, right? Because again, only one mistake, right? One negative can overcome all the positive thing that you, all the positive things that you've done, and I've seen it firsthand, right? You know, it was unfortunate, but before when I was just a starting reseller, right, I used to believe in like shipping in like label plugs, right? And I know you have done this, you've made this mistake too with trusting label plugs, right? So, you know, I've shipped a good amount of shoes and it actually went through, but then another majority of the pairs or the packages got lost. Right. So what did I have to do? I had to come out of my pocket, give them the full refund that they put in. Right. And again, what did those customers do?
again, these customers don't owe you anything. So they could either buy from you again, right? If they want, or right, they don't have to buy from you at all. But
right,
as a business owner, you have to do your best to give the best customer service to each and every one of your customers, hands down.
100%. And I like what you said, that if a package ever gets lost or is undelivered, it's happened a few times for me, I give a full refund. Just because, like, the person who pays you is paying to receive the product, right? As described exactly, and it's your job to get it to them. So, you know, like when I was using USPS, they would lose so many items, and it's like,
I know,
you know, that's, I mean, it's not on me, but it is, because it's, I'm putting my brand behind selling that person that shoe. So if USPS didn't get it to them, yeah, I will refund that.
1,000%. And like, you know, obviously do the best you can to try to get your package back or try to get your money back in some type of way with the shipping carrier, right? Because I've had it happen where, you know, I actually did buy the insurance for the package. So I got reimbursed the full amount. Right. And then you could just give that full amount right back to your customer. Right. So again, good business over bad business any day. Right. And, you know, there's so many people getting scammed nowadays. And right. Like you got to understand, you got to have empathy for the people that are buying from you. Right. You can't force anyone into the deal if they don't want to do it. You know, because again, right. There's so many different scammers scamming people for thousands and thousands of dollars on a day-to-day basis, right? And, you know, they really don't know which resellers are good and which resellers are bad. Again, going back to over-communication, you know, actually FaceTiming them, actually getting to know them, right? Spending time. Like, you don't have to have, like, a full-on, like, you know, let's go, you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to have a full on one-on-one with them, but at the same time too, build that trust over time, right? If they don't want to buy it first, by all means, it's okay. Just let me know when you're ready. Right. Let me know if you ever need anything. And then again, they'll come back. They might come back to you later on again. So it just sucks, right? There's a lot of scammers out there. There's a lot of really, really bad business out there. And, People are falling for it every single day. And I get so many DMs of people trying to, you know, have me expose other resellers. And like, I mean, I get that. I understand that you want me to do that, but at the same time too, right?
That's a full time job.
Yeah, I just don't want to focus on all the negatives, man. I just want to focus on building my own thing. It just sucks. It just sucks, bro.
100%. 100%.
Man, we got 12 people in the live right now, man.
That's good.
Yeah, we appreciate you guys so much. If you guys can, we're gonna leave the next 4 to 5 minutes to just straight Q&A. If you guys have any questions, drop it in the question bubble down below. And then after that, we're gonna wrap this podcast up because yeah, man, this was a really, really good session, man. And, I know that we can expand off of this too. Again, we're almost at 200 followers on this page. Dom and I are really, really, really trying to work hard at this regardless of whatever comes in the way, right? Like Dom and I both have our own, personal brands. We have our own TikToks, our own YouTube, Instagrams, whatever, right? But as partners, we're really trying to provide as much value as we can as possible. So again, thank you guys so much, man. Go ahead and drop your question in the bubble down below. Someone has a question for you, Dom. How do you remove scuffs off patent leather? Yeah, Dom's got to ask for that, man.
Yeah, I would just say like a little bit of Goo Gone and a cotton round is going to be your best bet. You don't want to use anything too harsh because you could fuck up the material, but you know, it's tough. Like sometimes it'll work, sometimes it won't, but I found that Goo Gone and a cotton round is like the best way to go.
Okay. Let's see.
Do you mind if I take this one too? Bookkeeping advice or tips?
Yeah, go ahead, bro. That's you too, bro. Go ahead.
The one thing that's been big for me, and I've learned after last year where my bookkeeping wasn't as good as I would have wanted, is like always record more information than you think you need, because at some point in the future, you're probably going to need it. So like my shit's so detailed right now. And I'm sure I'll come up on it at the end of the year and still be like, damn, like I should have done more. I could have taken this information or this information, but like, yeah, record as much data as possible. So like, for example, shoe size, shoe name, the price you paid for it, when you bought it, where you bought it, what payment provider you used to buy it, when you received it, when you listed it for sale, when you sold it, where you sold it, what payment provider you received the payment through. Like, I can go on, but like, just record as much stuff as possible.
Right. I like that. Just to kind of expand off of that too, right? You need all that stuff for your taxes. You need all that stuff just in the future. And again, the data part is super, super important, because, right, there's so many different things that you could do with bookkeeping, right? And, you know, you can record how fast you were able to, you're able to record like the turnover rate, how fast your turnover rate was, right? How much profit you got, right? And there's always different formulas to have in your spreadsheet, right? So I don't know, sooner or later we're gonna drop like a spreadsheet for you guys soon. We might actually do that. We'll see. We might drop like a copy of a spreadsheet soon so that you guys can all use it to your own advantage. So if you guys want that, let us know. Comment down below in this IGTV once we're done. If you guys want something like that, definitely let us know. We'll listen to you guys, man.
For sure.
Oh yeah, there you go. Someone just said, I just started using Scout. Scout is also a great way to bookkeep. Scout is a really, really good platform. I know that DFW also uses that as well. I'm pretty sure you have your own like Google Sheets, right?
Yep. I use Excel. Yeah.
Okay. Got that. All right. So someone, K-Trade Kick, said, when did you realize that reselling can be a full-time thing? And what's the biggest tip for quicker sales? So you want to go first, Dom?
Sure. I first thought that reselling could be a full-time thing when my TikTok was kind of blowing up last year. But, you know, I don't think I was making like reasonable full-time money until this year, realistically. And even now, I still have space to grow and I still want to grow, of course. But I would say like a year and a half ago, I kind of realized it could be a full-time thing. And then was that a year and a half ago? I don't know, something like that, maybe a year ago. Dude, it's so hard for me to keep track of time now that I'm not in school. And with the whole lockdown thing, like I can't keep my date straight. I think it was December of 2019 is when I was like, ooh, this could be a full-time thing. Anyway, what was the other part of the question? I'm sorry, I lost myself there.
He also said, what's the biggest tip for quicker sales?
Oh, for me, I mean, content will help you sell online, and like being creative with how to market yourself can help, which is something that you do probably better than me. Jake Hugh does that well, bro. Like creatively marketing himself. Like a lot of his content will be kind of funny in it, but then in there, he'll completely describe the whole process of how you buy a shoe from him. Like if you're good at like creative marketing, you're going to be in good shape. I'm not as good at that. I'm kind of just like straight to the point with my content about what I'm talking about, but
right.
You know, content can help you to sell. And then for me, like, apps are big for me. Like this month is a little slow on Instagram, but I picked up the slack on Goat and eBay. Like find the apps that you're comfortable selling on, that you're comfortable with the price you're going to get relative to the fees, and that you're comfortable with the return or chargeback policy, if that's going to be an issue, because on some apps that will be. And then once you figure that out, figure out what apps you want to try to sell on other than your primary one. So for me, my primary one is Instagram. I really like Goat because nobody can really charge back on you, and shoes tend to sell very high on Goat. Like I'll get higher prices consistently on Goat than Instagram before fees. So that helps to cover some of the fees. And then eBay's been good since they did the authenticity guaranteed thing. So figure out what secondary apps you like and don't be afraid to like list your shoes in multiple places.
Right. So yeah, man, like I like what you said. I like what you said about all that right there. But K-Trade, I'm curious, how old is K-Trade Kicks? Do you know him personally, Dom?
I don't know.
So maybe we could get him on here real quick. Would that be cool?
That would be cool.
Okay, let's go. Let's try to add him real quick to the pod, because I kind of want to talk to him personally. So, K Trade Kicks, what's good, fam?
Yo, what's up?
Hey, man, how old are you, bro?
I'm going to light really quick. I'm 16.
All right, so you're 16. You live with your mom and dad, right?
Yes.
So yeah, bro. So the first question you asked was, when did you realize that reselling can be a full-time thing? So my answer for you would be like, once you do you have any bills right now?
Bills?
Yeah.
Like pay any bills? No, I'm not currently.
So for me personally, I wouldn't even really worry about all that stuff right now. What I'd be focused on at your age right now, at age 16, is to consistently build your personal brand. And then progressively get into your brand, like your actual business, right? Because people right now, especially at your age or even younger, they're so focused on like, okay, when should I actually transition to like a full-time reselling business? And like, that's what you shouldn't be focusing on right now. Something that you should be focusing on is building your pages, right? All your social media platforms, your YouTube, your Instagram, your TikTok, right? And then later on, you could kind of make the adjustment once you're a little older, once you have bills, once you have actual things that you have to pay for every single month, right? Then you could kind of like squeeze that in to like into your like every month, you know, whatever your expenses are, right? And you know, for example, if your expenses every month are like $3,000 a month, or $2,000 to $3,000 your expenses every month are like, right, you have to be able to cover that, and then have some like emergency funds on the side too, so that you could take care of everything else that you need to take care of, right? So yeah, man, the answer is really like content, bro. Content. And you have to be able to provide as much value as you can to the people around you. People are not just going to follow you because you have cool kicks, right? People are going to follow you because they're actually like learning something from you, right?
Yeah.
If you can do that to a bunch of people, right? There's a bunch of people that Dom and I go through every single day in our DMs that just want to buy from us because they support our content, or because we've helped them get to where they are right now, right? Or we've inspired them to start reselling in general, right? So again, 16 years old, bro, you're super young, right? You have a very, very long time. So definitely like just get to work on that, bro. All right. And then you'll be able to get somewhere with this.
I've been watching you guys like on TikTok and like seeing you guys on Instagram and stuff. Like I completely support what you guys are doing. Like it's great to see what you guys are doing. It's like you guys kind of inspire me. A lot of you guys, like Risa, like Rare Kicks, you too, like a lot of other people. Just like people like you inspire me. I really appreciate it. Like honestly,
of course, my man. Thank you so much for love and support, bro. What's your name again, bro?
My name's Kareem, but my Instagram is my reselling Instagram is K-Trade Kicks.
Awesome, bro. Yeah, man. We'll keep you in mind for the next few podcasts. Again, if you have any questions, go ahead and DM us on this page, okay, bro?
Got it. Thank you.
All right, man. Have a great night, bro.
You too.
Nah,
bro.
Yes,
sir. I like that, and I'm gonna jump in on that a little bit. It's a long game, you know. If you want this to be your full time thing, it's a long game. And if you're at a point where you're lucky enough to not have bills to pay, right? Like my bills are pretty limited right now. You know, we both live with our parents too, and obviously we chip in, you know, with different things. But if you're lucky enough to be in a position where you don't have an overwhelming amount to pay tomorrow, you should be focusing on the long term, right? Building your brand to where it will pay dividends for the rest of your life, to where, let's say tomorrow I want to flip gears and do a whole nother business. I have a brand behind it that can help me do that. So yeah, exactly what you said. Focus on that long game. And
1,000%. I mean, I'm sorry. Yeah, bro, sorry to cut you off. But again, right, content is key, bro. And you got to be in front of these people's faces like a lot, bro. You know, that's something that I've learned quick is like regardless of what you're doing, bro, you have to be able to provide as much value as you possibly can, right? And someone just commented, they said, do you think putting your faces in shorts and TikToks helps with being trusted? I would love to remain anonymous, but no content is key to what I want in life. I like that. Yeah, I like that. You and I both already know the answer to this question, right? Yep. Yes. Put your face in your shorts and your videos, man. People got to know who they're buying from. I mean, it doesn't have to be every single video, but at the same time too, people want to be able to know what you look like. Because at the same time too, right, a lot of these quote unquote scammers, they don't have their face out there in front of all these people. Right. And, you know what I mean? I don't know. There's really like a few takes to this, you know what I mean? Cause if you're a shy person, you low key just gotta get out there and just practice as much as you possibly can. Because I know that you at first were very shy.
I still am.
You had to grow. Yeah. But look at you now, dude. Look at you now, Dom. You know what I mean? You've grown.
Being a fellow person that originally was hesitant to make content, which a lot of people don't know unless they've been following closely, I have a few things to say on this. So I'll just go on for a minute here. Number one, yeah, like obviously putting your face in TikToks helps a lot. And I would say, like, before I had a reference page, before I even had an Instagram dedicated to reselling, people were willing to give me their money because they felt like they knew me as a person. And that was crazy because I didn't know that was what it was. But beyond that, let's talk about the content, right? Why you might be afraid to put yourself out there, because I have some thoughts on this, right? So first of all, I think you can make content that brings people value and brings you business without putting your face out there. Like, I've seen certain Instagram accounts that, like, they'll put out valuable information every single day about what sneakers are going to be releasing and projected resale prices and if you want to target them and where to target them and things of that nature. So it can be done without putting your face out there. So that's one piece of advice. The other thing.
Wait, Dom, I'm sorry to cut you off, but we have one more minute left.
Oh, just fuck.
Remember what happened last time.
That's
go
right.
Ahead, keep going.
I'll make it quick then. The other part is if you want to remain anonymous, unless you're like in danger putting yourself out there, there's probably something in your own head, some sort of insecurity that makes you not want to put yourself out there. And I'm always working on my mental health. The thing that I recommend is you try to figure out what you're insecure about and confront it and work through it and put yourself out there. Because I think, like you said, and like we talked about, it pays huge dividends. So, and just force yourself to do it for the first time. Like, just force yourself on camera and put the first piece of content out.
Practice, man. Practice makes perfect, man.
100%.
And guys, we have 20 seconds left. Right, we're going to go ahead and close this out. We had an amazing time. As always, we always have a fun time here. Again, if you guys haven't yet, make sure you guys go follow the Reselling 101 pod on Instagram. Make sure you guys go check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Make sure you guys go leave us a review. So we'll see you guys on the next episode, episode number 9. Love you guys so much. Have a great night, man. Peace.
Peace.